The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man who clothed himself in purple and fine linen, and who feasted luxuriously every day. At his gate lay a certain poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Lazarus longed to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Instead, dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. While being tormented in the place of the dead, he looked up and saw Abraham at a distance with Lazarus at his side. He shouted, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, whereas Lazarus received terrible things. Now Lazarus is being comforted, and you are in great pain. Moreover, a great crevice has been fixed between us and you. Those who wish to cross over from here to you cannot, neither can anyone cross from there to us." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. He needs to warn them so they don't come to this place of agony." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They must listen to them." The rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, that will change their hearts and lives." Abraham said, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever wondered where Jesus did get the ideas for all those parables? Sometimes it's obvious. We recently heard the parable of the seeking shepherd who left the whole flock to go look for one, just one missing sheep. The role of the shepherd would have been readily familiar to his hearers, all of whom would have been confused by the unlikely behavior of that shepherd, leaving 99 sheep to go in search of one lost sheep. Then there's the parable of the sower who went forth to sow. You know, the guy who indiscriminately threw seeds everywhere on every kind of soil. The parable could have been inspired by any one of the countless sowers in the crowd whose very survival would have depended on them doing just the opposite of what the sower in the parable was doing, wasting precious seed in rocky fields. We can easily imagine the inspiration behind various parables: the budding fig tree, leaven, light, or even the prodigal son. But where on earth did Jesus get the wild idea behind today's parable? What makes him think that the rich man would someday be the one who is suffering, and Lazarus one day would be poor no more? In Jesus' day and in ours, the position of the rich and the poor seemed to be clearly defined, and the gap between those positions even more firmly fixed. Where does the idea for this parable come from? What could have shaped Jesus' story? I'm thinking that maybe Jesus got the idea from the lullabies Mary sang to him as he sat on her lap. "Now, before you take my wife's side and say that I'm making stuff up again, just hear me out. If you look at the one song Mary recorded, her one hit, we know it as the Magnificat. The lyrics go something like this: He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." With a mama who goes around the house singing songs like that, a kid just might grow up with a passionate imagination that comes up with a story like Lazarus and the rich man. Jesus quite possibly got this idea for this parable from the songs he heard Mary singing. Mary wasn't the only one singing songs like this. The Psalms were popular music of the day when Jesus lived. Maybe in the chanting of the Psalms, Jesus heard a tune that just got stuck in his head. Psalms that sang with hope and assurance of stuff like, "The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor perish forever." Yeah, the Psalms were songs which fostered hope in the midst of despair. Songs that might have inspired a young rabbi to tell a parable like the one of Lazarus and the rich man. If not from the songs of Mary and the Psalms, maybe Jesus picked up a different vision for community as a student at the Hebrew school. Maybe he got in with a fringe group of some sort, or somehow was influenced by a radical prophet like Amos. Maybe Jesus' imagination was triggered when he read the scroll of Amos. "Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away." With these words etched in his mind, Jesus might well have imagined the narrative of this parable. But notice, while the details of Amos' words seem to depict a scene from the lives of the rich and famous, it is the details of the suffering of Lazarus that Jesus focuses on and begins to capture in his parable. Jesus, always the storyteller, paints a picture we can all see. Lazarus, a poor man, covered with sores, longing to satisfy his hunger with the crumbs from the rich man's table, or dogs as they come to lick his sores. It takes awareness to capture the plight of Lazarus, awareness that requires compassion for Lazarus. Where does Jesus get that kind of compassion? The kind of compassion for a suffering of a poor man whom others merely pass by without a glance, much less a second thought. And these are details that are captured and described only by personal experience, personal relationships. The things about parables is that they are not only stories that are made up, the characters of parables are also made up. In fact, this is the only parable of Jesus where the character is given a name. Jesus calls him Lazarus. From the literary standpoint of a parable, it's likely that Lazarus is a composite character. Different people that Jesus encountered in his ministry all rolled up into one character. Of all the poor people that Jesus had encountered, maybe it was a poor widow who generously gave from the very little she had that came to mind when Jesus wanted to tell a story about someone who was poor. Maybe the sores were the memory of the sores of one leper who came back to thank Jesus for healing him. Maybe the hungering for crumbs and the dogs who were licking the sores were reminiscent of the Syrophoenician woman whose boldness challenged Jesus' rebuke by reminding him that, well, even the dogs were allowed the crumbs from the master's table. And the name itself, Lazarus, maybe this honor was given to commemorate the one others had given up for dead, the one whose odor was said to be sure to offend the pleasantries of family and friends, the one whom Jesus called forth from the tomb and commanded that he be unbound and let go, Lazarus of Bethany. When Jesus painted this picture of Lazarus, he was dipping his brush into a rich palette of personal relationships. When Jesus issued a call regarding how to best relate to the poor, he was commanding that we look with eyes of compassion on the suffering of those at our door. This parable was not so much a lesson on eternal punishment or reward in the afterlife, as it was a call to change our perception, our perspective of both the rich and those who are suffering. a call to overcome the great chasm between all manner of divisions. The parable was a call to see the suffering who are at our door, to unbind them and let them go. The great chasm between Lazarus and the rich man did not originate in the afterlife. It was a chasm that began at the rich man's door. It was a chasm that was widened with each step that was taken to walk around Lazarus or over Lazarus as he lay there on the ground. It was a chasm that was fostered not only by the rich man, but by all those who did nothing to bridge it. It was a chasm from which the echo of oppression continued to ring. Even in death, the rich man saw Lazarus as only a servant to bear him water or as a messenger to look out for the good of his own wealthy family. I wonder, though, how fixed is this great chasm, really? Can it never be bridged? Remember, the parable now is a tool to change the way we relate to God and to others rather than a tool from which we base theology or doctrine. I think the whole point of Jesus' parable is that whether or not this chasm remains is up to us and what we do to cross it. What do we do to reach out to the oppressed, to extend inclusion across every divide? What shapes the perspective of rich men and the Lazaruses among us? What shapes our perspective of the divide that remains between rich men and Lazaruses among us? Is it the songs we listen to? Is it the words of rich men? Is it the cries of Lazaruses? Is Lazarus even given a voice or heard over the roar of idle songs and popular opinions of the day? Who shapes our perspective and writes the script of our responses to gulf this chasm between the rich man and Lazarus? Will we be warned of the dangers and the plight of those who foster or do nothing about the gaps between people within our communities? You see, in this story, we are neither the rich man nor Lazarus, although we find ourselves somewhere in the spectrum between them, depending on the context and reference point. We're not Lazarus or the rich man. We're the five brothers. What will we do about Lazarus? What will we do about the great divide that separates us from the rich man? It's up to us. The script of how we respond to the Lazaruses among us has been written. We have Moses and the prophets. We have the Psalms and the Song of Mary. We even have one risen from the dead. Let them shape our story. Let it be the depths of God's love and compassion that shape our story, so that whenever and wherever we may encounter Lazarus, and we will and we do, we reach out our hand to unbind him and let him go.